This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Well, good morning, America. This is Gun Owners News Hour. I did a couple of things strategically the other day. May have been the wrong things to do. But we're going to see. I have two pistol configuration rifle thingies. Whatever you want to call them. I have a CZ Bren and an AR-15 pistol. And Stephen Gutkowski of The Reload has been covering the ATF's attempt to ban the pistol braces that are on the back of these things. No wiggle room with this one. No grandfather clause. They're trying to make them illegal, thus turning millions of us into felons for exercising our constitutional right to own firearms. Now, that's not actually how it would work out to be. This is called ex post facto. They would have to give us X amount of time to actually comply with this, and then they have to be able to move fast enough to make that happen. Here's the problem for this. Some 10 to 40 million Americans have firearms with these stabilizing pistol braces. Now, it is a backdoor ban. Biden knows he doesn't have the legislative juice to pass what he wants to pass, so his people are looking at the existing regulations, tweaking them, and they found a big one here. And this is why legislation and rules are always a problem, because they're always going to be interpreted by the other side. And all of the good intentions and everything that the other side had when they were setting them up, well, we're just trying to, you know, make sure the wrong things don't fall in the wrong hands. All that stuff, that gets prostituted. It becomes an aberration of what it actually was intended to be. Now, the new ATF regulation is potentially the largest gun registration and confiscation scheme in American history, not to mention a money grab. Because what they want to do is they want to reclassify these as short-barreled rifles. Short-barreled rifles are an NFA item, even though they were not supposed to be. Short-barreled rifles were added to the NFA registration as a last-minute thing at the behest of one man. One guy. Now, there's a couple of things that can come into play here. There's going to be some of these pistol braces. Some are more equal than others. There's going to be some that are going to be, you got to register if you have them on there, and there's going to be some that you don't. And you can simply take it off, and then it's no longer what they said it was. So, I mean, this is quite the portable situation. The rule change has gotten over 30,000 comments in less than a week, that's a lot of participation. Gutkowski sifted through some of the good ones while noticing that the anti-gun left seems a bit lackadaisical about this move. You'd think they'd get their people mobilized, but they haven't. Nothing. Dead silence. It's not formal legislation, but it's a test run for what they want to do with firearms in America. But here's what they found at the Reload. In only 5 days, the rule change has received nearly 37,000 comments. That's tens of thousands more comments than most proposals ever get. And two other proposals in the Federal Register's popular documents section have just 143 and 8 comments, respectively. The comments on the brace ban were also overwhelmingly negative, with people accusing the administration of overstepping its authority and putting millions of Americans into legal jeopardy. The Reload reviewed dozens of comments and couldn't find any in support of the rule change. Jack Ort said, "This is the most arbitrary set of rules I've ever heard of, and you'll just make millions of normal Americans into felons despite a complete lack of evidence that these braces are a problem." The backlash could jeopardize the proposal if it gets big enough. The Trump administration withdrew a similar proposal in 2020 after an outcry from gun makers and gun owners. The Obama administration pulled a proposal to ban a kind of ammunition commonly used in AR-15s after it received more than 300,000 public comments opposing it. The ATF's attempt to provide clarity around what it does and does not constitute a pistol brace is vague. Using words like intent, which is nearly impossible to prove in a court of law, in the points scoring system essentially renders it unenforceable. Others accuse the agency of trying to legislate instead of interpreting existing law. Peter Fitante said the ATF is trying to make laws by rulemaking and bypassing Congress. An anonymous commenter took it a step further. The change of this law, which has precedent established, without legislation or judicial oversight, is not only unconstitutional, but abjectly immoral. Disabled gun owners also argued the braces, which are designed to help the disabled shoot certain guns more easily, were vital to them. The newly proposed arbitrary and confusing rules on braces directly affects me and tens of thousands of other disabled Americans, said James Miller. Because of a combination of spinal stenosis and lupus, I have trouble holding a full-size rifle. I have the beginnings of spinal stenosis. I can tell you right now, it is no joke. Using an arm brace on what is termed a pistol, but is the exact same firearm as one with a full-size stock, makes it possible for me to continue to exercise my constitutionally protected right to hunt and compete in shooting sports. Now, the ATF was not able to answer all of the questions about the pistol brace ban, and it was suggested that they be submitted as a public comment. Now, here's the thing about this. This will do nothing to enhance public safety. It has nothing to do with law and order. This is a gun grab test, like the masking mandate was. There's no benefit to this rule change other than the government taking another spin in trampling civil rights. AR-15 pistols. See, they're doing this right now because I believe that's what the guy in Boulder, Colorado used. They think they can use this with... They only do things like this when the wind... They feel like the wind is at their backs. And Biden, who is nothing if not the Obama understudy, he remembers what happened after Newtown. But he doesn't remember what happened with that when they tried to push that through, which it also failed. So right now, this is off to a start where it might get pulled. But then the problem is going to be, if we play devil's advocate and say, okay, so they get it passed and they make it happen. Item number one, we don't know what it's going to end up looking like in the end because this is going to be pulled apart in the courts. Because numerous times they have looked at pistol braces in the past and said, okay, these are legal. These are allowed. These are kosher. Whatever the term is you want to use. They've said that before. Now they're going to suddenly change their mind. Sort of like the home-built firearms. That's going to be another rough road for them to hoe. But... row to hoe. But whatever it is, they've torn off a little more than they're going to be able to chew here. And that's what makes it so blatant, because we all know this has a high degree of possibility of failure. And I guess the only ones that don't think, this is to see if it sticks to the wall. That's all it is. That is all it is. It's a trash rule. Alex Bosco over at SB Tactical has been asking the ATF for years to give him some sort of guidance on what is and what is not allowable. And as they play the long game, they have never given him anything in order to actually base any decisions on. I just bought an SB Tactical brace just the other day. So, anyway... pay attention to this. We'll see where it goes. It's getting a lot of pushback. If we're lucky, it will get withdrawn. We'll be right back. This is Gun Owners News Hour.
Kill America is facing more dangers than ever. You're right. Things are falling apart, it seems, every day. That's why you need to prepare for more of the unexpected, especially food shortages. When people panic, grocery stores run out of food fast. Would you survive without food for days, weeks, even months? The smart folks are buying emergency food now. Take a moment to shop MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's leader in preparedness. With over a dozen years' experience, My Patriot Supply has earned over 40,000 four-star and five-star reviews. Our delicious, calorie-rich food averages 2,000 calories per day and lasts in storage up to 25 years, so it's there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a kit or two, and we'll ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait for something bad to happen again. Rather, be more self-reliant and prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Using the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to ChambersCustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage.
At Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard.
Join me, George Norrie, for Contact in the Desert Worldwide Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to the 28th. Contact in the Desert will be an epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient alien civilizations, consciousness, AI, crop circles, and cutting-edge science. More than 130 presentations, 67 speakers, and 2 extra weeks to view our extraordinary lineup. Get your tickets today at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact. Contactinthedesert.com.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
When I was a kid, I wanted to be just like Cal Ripken. It's definitely humbling to know that now people are calling me a hero. Instead of finding the IED with my metal detector, the IED found me first, and that resulted in double above-knee amputations. It's hard to describe the feeling of meeting somebody that you've always wanted to be like. There are people now that are looking up to you for their inspiration and to be their role model.
Visit saluteheroes.org to learn more.
Right. This is Gun Owners News Hour. Coming out of Portland, Oregon. Well, this is going to be a problem because these guys get a lot of work. The entire Portland Police Bureau Rapid Response Team, also known as the Riot Squad, quit Wednesday night. They quit in protest of the indictment of one of their members for pushing a rioter who was also acting as a photographer with his department-issued baton. Rebecca Ellis and Ryan Haas of Oregon Public Broadcasting report all of the officers, sergeants, and detectives with the Portland Police Bureau's rapid response team. The unit responsible for policing protests in the city resigned from the team together Wednesday night. Police Bureau officials called the move unprecedented. The resignations from the unit came after news this week that one member of the team, Officer Corey Budworth, would face criminal charges for excessive force used during a racial justice protest last year, and that a second rapid response team member, Detective Eric Kammerer, is being investigated by the Oregon Department of Justice on similar allegations. Now, these guys didn't quit their job. They just quit being members of the rapid response unit, which gets, you know, they get a lot of work in Portland, Oregon. Acting Chief Chris Davis said in a press conference, "This does not mean there will be no response in public order situations. We'll use the resources we have." Well, here's where the problem comes. The rapid response team was probably trained exclusively for this particular tasking. And this guy, Budworth, he's gotten caught up where they had somebody who was a apparently an Antifa member who also is a photographer. And the claim here is that he clubbed her. That he used excessive force. And I have a couple of thoughts about that. First thought being, if you're going to try to cover the news, and it is a riot, what you need to do is you got to constantly be paying attention to which way the police are going and get out of their way and let them do their job. Don't stand in the way of them doing their job. You know, they hit these cops in the head with bricks and bike locks and bicycles and whatever the biggest, heaviest thing they can find is. And as soon as one of them gets clipped, well, then they want to raise the roof. Now, what the acting police chief says, while true, it's technically correct, but it's not perfect. Coming from Katie Davis Court, writing in the Post-Millennial. "Now that the riot team is no more, we have no clue what's going to happen. We don't have enough patrol officers to be pulled from the road to handle huge crowds. We have only backups with no gear like the riot team has. This is ahead of massive demonstrations and protests that are planned for this upcoming weekend." Now, I would imagine, I've never been in a riot. I have thankfully avoided all riots. I've only ever watched them on TV. But I would imagine in a riot, when you're in the thick of things, that it is a very confusing, chaotic situation. Now, police are constantly faced with violent, they're not constantly faced with violent responses that they have to throw out there versus violence. But when they do, they have to make a decision in split seconds. They don't have a luxury of time to sit back there and go, let me consider all the angles. And I would imagine in a fast moving environment that is a non-permissive environment of the sort that it is, like a riot, that it is, at the very least, they're still making split second decisions. So whatever your judgment on the legality of all of this, it is clear that Budworth used the side of his baton to push the demonstrator as she appeared to be getting up and moving in his direction. And there's a voice that may or may not be hers shouting at him immediately after that happens. Now, are we to sit here and say, well, he hit a girl? Is that what it all boils down? He hit a girl. Listen, females can be just as dangerous as male. Children can be just as dangerous. There's no such thing as undangerous. There is unarmed, not adequately armed, not as armed, but people with nothing in their hands at all can be very, very dangerous. And a police officer in the middle of a riot doesn't have the luxury of being able to sit back and say, well, let me take an inventory of what she got. A police union, the police union issued a lengthy statement that included this point. Reasonably believing that she was getting back up to reengage in her unlawful activity, Officer Budworth employed one last baton push to try to keep her on the ground, which accidentally struck Ms. Jacobs in the head. Listen, if you don't want to get struck, don't go to a riot. I mean, that's the thing I don't really understand about this. Why would you go to a violent encounter with the intent of stirring up violence, not expecting to get hit, not expecting to take a little punishment? I know why this is happening. I mean, I'm not that naive. Now, the postmillennial also points out the context of the action. On the night of August 18, 2020, Antifa militants threw a Molotov cocktail into the county sheriff's department headquarters as the rapid response team struggled to contain the riot. This incident occurred after nearly 75 consecutive nights of violence, destruction, and mayhem. The UK Daily Mail reports that the demonstrator struck with a baton, Terry Jacobs, has received a large cash settlement from the city. Jacobs says she was attacked despite carrying a press card. Listen, if you're going to have press credentials, you got to wear them. Having them in your purse, your pocket, that's not going to do it. And then you have to comport yourself that way. You can't get out there and be throwing things and carrying signs and doing all this other stuff just because you got a camera in your hand. You're either part of the demonstration and the protest, or you're not. And if you're not, then get out of the way and, you know, film. Take pictures. She was not charged with any crime, and she received a $50,000 settlement from the city of Portland as a result of the baton strike. Cops have continued to insist she was part of a riot which set the government building alight with a petrol bomb. That's the UK Daily Mail telling you that. Jacobs sued Budworth in September for excessive force, claiming that she had swung his truncheon like a baseball bat at Ms. Jacobs, striking her several times, according to a copy of the suit obtained by the Willamette Week. As she was knocked to the ground, she was terrified that the officer was going to continue to attack her, and she feared she might not get up again. Yeah. We'll be right back. This is Gun Owners News Hour.
Years, Arrow Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Arrow Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Arrow Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders. Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th, Arrow Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
Franklin Armory makes top quality AR-style firearms for sport, military, and law enforcement. 100% made in America parts and materials. We manufacture revolutionary three-position binary triggers that can be selected to fire on the pull and release, or set to fire normally. We strongly support and uphold our Second Amendment. We hope you do too. Get a 10% discount when you mention the code word lock and load at franklinarmory.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
President Biden is touting vaccination efforts. He said health workers have administered 300 million COVID-19 shots in his first 100 days in office. At the same time, vaccinations are on the decline, and the more contagious Delta variants are spreading in states with low vaccination rates.
The truth is that deaths and hospitalizations are drastically down in places where people are getting vaccinated. But unfortunately, cases and hospitalizations are not going down in many places in the lower vaccination rate states.
60 House Democrats have wrote to Catholic bishops in the U.S. urging them to not deny communion to President Biden and other Catholic politicians who support a woman's right to choose abortion. The bishops' conference is voting to draft a document that would do just that. This is USA Radio News. A 55-year-old man was arrested after allegedly assaulting California Governor Gavin Newsom as he made an appearance at an Oakland pizza restaurant. CHP, which provides security for the governor, said the Berkeley, California man was taken into custody. In a statement, they said the governor was approached by an aggressive individual. Members of the governor's security detail removed the governor from the situation. They said the man was booked into the Santa Rita Jail in Dublin, California, for investigation of resisting an executive order and assaulting a public official. Newsom didn't appear injured or disturbed by the alleged assault, later saying that different people have different ways of saying hello. A woman who identified herself as the suspect's sister said her brother is a homeless man with severe mental health problems. She told KABC-TV that the charges against him are consistent with his past charges and past behavior. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
This is Gun Owners News Hour. Coming out of St. Louis, Mark and Patricia McCluskey pled guilty this past Thursday to misdemeanor charges and agreed to forfeit the specific guns that they brandished on their property, according to the Associated Press. Now, that in and of itself is not a tragedy to me, because my understanding was that they were both disabled guns, which makes me wonder why they came out with them in the first place. But Mark pleaded guilty to misdemeanor fourth-degree assault and received a $750 fine. His wife, Patricia, pled guilty to misdemeanor harassment and was fined $2,000. Now, that's a lot of money. It's not a lot of money to them. While they had to forfeit the guns used in the incident, they can continue to own firearms, according to the AP. Maybe they should get some real ones next time. A spokesperson from the McCluskey Senate campaign told the Daily Caller of the state was supposedly adamant about the couple giving up their guns. The McCluskeys asked to donate the weapons but were denied. Mark later tweeted and clarified he was not surrendering any of his firearms, and the two weapons that were seized were evidence in a criminal case and per state laws must be incinerated. On Twitter, he said, "Let me be clear, I'm not surrendering any of my other firearms. I will continue to be one of the strongest advocates for the Second Amendment in Missouri and around the country. The two weapons that were seized from me were evidence in the criminal case per the state of Missouri. They are to be incinerated." Now, from the get-go, it has been my contention that during this summer of love that all of this was happening, When Kyle Rittenhouse was getting, charged with murder for clearly defending himself, when the McCluskeys here were in their very, very nice house in the gated community, And then the mob smashed into the gate. And, yeah, they smashed into the gate. They didn't just open it and say, all right, everybody, single file in orderly fashion now, will you? And they didn't do that. They came through as a mob. And they were yelling at the McCluskeys, we're going to burn down your house. We're going to kill your dog. We're going to rape your wife. We're going to kill you. You know, okay. One of the things that in today's day and age, in this era of no limits and no filters, if somebody tells you they're going to do that, to a certain degree, you got to give them a little bit of credence. Because what they're doing is they're telegraphing to you what they want to do. I don't know how we're supposed to measure what the likelihood of what they want to do is versus what they're going to do. But at that particular point, when we know what they want to do, then we at least need to pay them some attention, don't we? So all of this that I've been seeing with Rittenhouse and with this has been meant to chill you from using armed self-defense. In this particular case, they did... They didn't do a very good job of it. The McCluskeys are both lawyers. They were captured on video in June of 2020 brandishing weapons. On their property is a large group of protesters marched past their home. Mr. McCluskey was armed with an AR-15, and his wife Patricia held a handgun badly. Now, Mr. McCluskey could be heard telling the group, this is private property, get out, while some of the protesters could be heard telling the rest of the group to keep moving. And they were supposedly on their way to Democratic Mayor Linda Cruson's home to demand her resignation. During Thursday's hearing, Judge David Mason asked if Mark acknowledged that his actions put people at risk, according to the AP. And he reportedly replied, I sure did, Your Honor. And while leaving the courthouse, Mark said he would do it again, according to the report. Well, yes, he was just responding to a threat. He said in a statement, 1 year ago, an angry mob crashed through my gate and threatened my wife, my family, and my home. The prosecutor dropped all charges against me except for a claim that I put other people in imminent fear of physical harm. And that's exactly what I did, and that's what the guns were for. Anytime the mob comes and threatens me, I'll do the same thing again to protect my family. A grand jury indicted the couple in October for brandishing weapons and tampering with evidence. Both Mark and Patricia were charged with one count of felony unlawful use of a weapon by St. Louis Circuit Attorney Kim Gardner, who argued the display of guns threatened the protesters. Mr. McCluskey argued that he feared for his life during the incident. I was terrified that we'd be murdered within seconds, he said in an interview with KMOV. Our house would be burned down, our pets would be killed. Yeah. The duo pleaded not guilty to charges of unlawful use of a weapon in October. A Missouri Court of Appeals later ruled Gardner could not prosecute over after emails showed she used the case for fundraising purposes. Which I don't know why she needed to fundraise, because she's a Soros-backed girl. So, they have not found them guilty of a felony, so they can still own weapons. And this effectively is over for them. Maybe that's why they made this decision. I don't know. Mr. McCluskey apparently is running for office. Which that would be an interesting race to watch if it's national office or state, and we'll see how that goes. But in the interim, this is the thing about facing a mob. If you're going to face a mob, you've got to take the fight out of the mob. In the real world, if the mob attacks you, and you fight back, and you show them that they're going to go away. They're going to take the path of least resistance. I mean, just ask the rooftop Koreans about that. And that's all you're wanting to do. You're just wanting them not to attack you. because you certainly can't fight them. But what you're trying to do is you're trying to take their will to be in this fight out of the picture. And that's all there is to it. It's a psychological ploy, if you will. Now, that was had to be a daunting thing for them to face when they're, you know, you're sitting down for dinner, and all of a sudden a whole bunch of people are in your, you know, on the outside of your house, on the street, yelling at your house. Supposedly on their way somewhere else, but, in moments like this, it doesn't matter where they're going. It doesn't matter who they intended to see. It doesn't matter what their intent was to begin with. It only matters what you are actually facing at that moment. You can sit back there and clutter your mind with all of these other things that are involved, sort of in the periphery, and say to yourself, I wonder why they're here. I wonder who they're actually looking for. Or you can actually just deal with the situation as it is. The ones that would actually prevail would be the ones that just deal with it and then look back at what they just had to do and say to themselves, I wonder why they were here. I wonder what they really meant to do. In an event like this, it is best if you can completely clear your head of all things not pertaining to what you're doing at that particular moment. That's the best thing you can do. And when they made their decision to go out there and make their stand, it appears they did, even though they did it in a way I wouldn't do it. I would not do it the way they did it, but that's not something that they are trained to do. It's not something they prepared to do. They just happen to have the tools necessary to do it. They just didn't do it the way I would have done. But it was all this other nonsense we've been going through while watching this. This has all been meant to chill armed self-defense. We'll be right back. This is Gun Owners News Hour.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
As life in America looks to return to normal, how can you succeed in the new stock market? With the tech dip, volatility with interest rates, and fear around the yield curve, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text the word money to 813-813 to find out how our technology can forecast market trends up to 3 days in advance with incredible accuracy. Text money to 813-813. 9813 to find explosive moves before they happen. Vantage Point's patented artificial intelligence can give you a massive edge. Text the word money to 813-813. Start predicting trends 72 hours in advance and maximize your gains. Text money to 813-813. Experience Vantage Point for free. Learn how successful traders generate their wealth. Don't wait. Text the word money to 813-813.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
Join me, George Norrie, for the Worldwide Contact in the Desert Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to June 28th. Contact in the Desert is an epic weekend of adventure, jam-packed with exciting explorations into UFOs, ancient civilizations, AI, crop circles, forbidden archaeology, disclosure, and the newest evidence of ongoing contact, sightings, and leading-edge science. This amazing weekend delivers more than 130 presentations and special events showcasing 67 speakers from all over the world, with 2 extra weeks to view your favorite leading experts, including Avi Loeb with Clyde Lewis, Linda Moulton Howe, Paul Hellyer, John Lear, Russell Targ, David Childress, Doc Wallach, and more. With breaking articles in the New York Times and acknowledged naval sightings, and more importantly, the new release of classified documents on the day of the soft opening of Contact in the Desert, we are your source for inside information. Join us June 25th at contactinthedesert.com to get your tickets today. Make contact, contactinthedesert.com.
All right, one more time. Let's do this. This is Gun Owners News Hour. The LA Times, their editorial board, that is not so much a journalistic enterprise as it is a partisan, you know, blackboard, if you will. Partisan grievance blackboard. The editorial board's descent into trivial activist messaging was on full display in a pair of recent pieces lamenting the federal judiciary's recognition of the Second Amendment. that bothered them. In both, the editorial board denied the core rulings of the U.S. Supreme Court's opinions and the Heller and McDonald decision that recognized the Second Amendment protects an individual right to keep and bear arms. In neither piece did the would-be jurists of the LA Times offer evidence or argument as to their incorrect position or why the legal analysis of self-important regime press agents should actually carry any weight at all, whatsoever. The first editorial was published on April 26, entitled, "The Supreme Court Agrees to Hear a Case That Would Mean More Guns in Public." You can just hear the hands ringing, can't you? This took issue with the U.S. Supreme Court's decision to grant cert to the NRA-backed case, New York State Rifle and Pistol Association versus Corlett. The case challenges New York's concealed carry licensing scheme and could prompt the court to recognize that the right to keep and bear arms extends outside the home. As they lamented the cert decision, they wrote, "The case of the court accepted Monday follows the court's controversial 2008 Heller decision, which for the first time enunciated a right to own a firearm in the home for self-protection, breaking with historic perceptions that the right was conferred only to members of state militias. From our perspective, it was an errant reading of the Constitution, but unfortunately the nation is stuck with it." Now, what I get a kick out of this about is that, there are other things that have come from this. They look at the Supreme Court and they look at law like it's a salad bar, where they can go down the salad bar with their little leftist bowl and their little communist fork and only spear the things which they want, and everything else that gets left is of no consequence. And that's not how law works. If we're going to be a rule of law nation, then it's the entirety of law that works, whether they like it or not. I'll give you a case in point. When, you know, with my oath that I took when I joined the military, which I've been out of the military a long time, but I I still walk around thinking about my oath. I realized that I was defending the rights of people that I never agreed with, that I was never going to agree with, that would, you know, they would just soon see me dead. And still I did it. Because they have the same rights I have. The only difference is they just don't recognize that I have the same rights they have. But the second editorial was published on June the 7th. This one was about what came out of the Ninth Circuit with Benitez. Their column was titled, "The Judge is Wrong. California's Assault Weapons Ban Must Stand." And this complained about the Ninth District decision and the Miller versus Bonta case. The decision by Roger Benitez found that the California ban on commonly owned semi-automatic firearms violated the Second Amendment. Now, this is all based on a couple of things. First of all, Scalia, in the Heller decision, said that man-portable, commonly owned weapons could not be banned. And a lot of that was based upon a case out of Massachusetts that had to do with stun guns, where they're talking about 200 or 300,000 stun guns. At 200 or 300,000, they claimed that these were in common use with personal defense weapons, semi-automatics, modern sporting rifles, AR-15 type guns, whatever, however you want to claim or call them. There's an excess. The number I keep seeing is 20 million, but we, you know, that number's been static for so long. It may be near 30 million. I don't know, but if 300,000 is common use, then anything above 300, you know, 300,001 is also in common use. So, yes, this California decision from 1989, which predated and should have been voided by the Heller decision, he got smacked down, and they don't like it in the LA Times. Benitez's ruling on the California ban was a result of the faithful interpretation of the Heller and McDonald decisions. And we can be certain of this because Heller author Scalia signed onto a dissent from the denial certiorari of Friedman versus Highland Park, a case concerning a local ban on commonly owned semi-automatic firearms that stated as much. The dissent noted at that time that roughly 5 million Americans own AR-style semi-automatic weapons. The overwhelming majority of citizens who own and use these do so for lawful purposes, including self-defense and target shooting. Under our precedents, that is all that is needed for citizens to have a right under the Second Amendment to keep such weapons. Game over, LA Times. Sorry to tell you. Sorry you went to all this trouble. Defending the unconstitutional ban, the LA Times editorial board whined. Even the Supreme Court's controversial 2008 Heller decision, which for the first time recognized wrongly an individual right to keep a gun in the home for self-defense, also said the government has an interest in regulating firearms and the right secured by the Second Amendment is not unlimited. And here we go back to this is why. While some of the things in the Heller decision are outstanding, there's so many doors left open for these mewling cats to grasp onto. In addition to their rejection of the Heller ruling, they did not even get the basic history correct when they contended that Heller recognized the individual right protected by the Second Amendment for the first time. Scalia explained in Heller, the court's ruling in the 1939 case, U.S. versus Miller is not only consistent with, but positively suggests that the Second Amendment confers the individual right to keep and bear arms. So after their defeat in Heller, the more sophisticated gun control advocates abandoned their discredited collective right messaging on the Second Amendment. In fact, some gun control organizations have explicitly told activists in their messaging guide not to attack the Second Amendment or gun owners in general. Now, in 2016, the former Americans for Responsible Solutions, now the Giffords Law, conducted a gun control rebranding effort based on poll and focus group data. which now your rights, by the way, are all based upon poll and focus group data. Did you know that? The resulting messaging booklet warned supporters not to attack the NRA or the Second Amendment. An earlier gun control group messaging guide from 2013 titled Preventing Gun Violence Through Effective Messaging told readers to acknowledge, yes, there's a right to possess a handgun in the home for self-defense. And they also told the gun control activists not to relitigate the court's rulings. And there's a good reason for that advice, aside from the fact that the outmoded collective interpretation of the Second Amendment is indefensible, though that false reading is widely unpopular. In February 2008, there was a poll put out by the USA Today Gallup that asked, do you believe the Second Amendment of the U.S. Constitution guarantees the rights of Americans to own guns, or do you believe it only guarantees members of state militias, such as the National Guard units, to the right to own guns? And the response was unambiguous. 73% responded that the Second Amendment guarantees the right of Americans to own guns, while a mere 20% limited their right to state militia members. So, we've been doing that too, gun grabbers. We've been using them polly things and those survey things. So, I find it interesting that they continue to argue, while at the same time they'll sit there and tell you that Roe versus Wade is settled law, the law of the land. Obamacare now, you heard Schumer this past week, settled law, law of the land. Second Amendment, that's a dinosaur. Hell of a decision, that was wrong. Yeah, sure thing. Whatever you guys say. All right. Keep your eyes open. Stay aware. We'll be back next week. This has been Gun Owners News Hour.
At Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard.
At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Fusing the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to ChambersCustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage.
Eating, working, living pain-free. These are things many of us take for granted. But for many adults with disabilities who are elderly or have serious medical issues, dental care is simply unaffordable. Dental Lifeline Network is looking for dentists who can change this. DLN is asking dentists and their teams to volunteer to just see one of the many patients in need. You can literally change a life. When you volunteer with DLN's donated dental services program to C1, you treat a pre-qualified patient in your office at your convenience. We handle the details so you can focus on the care. Lack of dental care can lead to the inability to have life-saving surgery, eat, or contribute to our community. If you are a dentist or know a dentist, please share this message. Will you see one? Visit willyouseeone.org to help change one life in your community today.